I'm probably like more confident than I should be, but I don't know. I think it seems like super fun.
I'm in a beautiful open field in Glover, Vermont. It's a tiny town way up near the Canadian border, just about an hour and a half east of the Burlington Airport. And at the moment, my new friend Ziggy is strapping my legs into stilts and helping me stand up.
Okay. Watch your head. You're doing great.
I was way too confident about this.
Ziggy is a puppeteer, but do not think little marionettes or cuddly hand puppets. Think gigantic, towering papier-mâché creatures. For her performances, Ziggy and her fellow puppeteers put on huge stilts, long cloaks, and gigantic papier-mâché heads. And they go and walk around and act in these things. I, however, am literally just trying to stand up.
And I'm lifting my feet with you. Make sure to lift the knees.
Whoa.
Whoop. Yeah.
I was all like, give me the 3-foot stilts. Do not give me the 3-foot stilts. I do not want the 3-foot stilts. I am extremely high in the air as we are.
In just a few hours, Ziggy and her crew are going to put on a big show for this tiny Vermont town. It is a true spectacle. There is music and puppets and stilt walkers, and they even feed you at the end. That's because Ziggy is part of the Bread and Puppet Theater. It is a performance company that has been putting on radical political puppet shows for over 60 years.
He's doing it! Yeah.
I am Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. And this Small Town Big Story episode was produced in partnership with GoUSA TV. Today, I'm heading up to Glover, Vermont, to see how a radical puppet collective has shaped a small New England town, and vice versa. That's after this.
How did he do on his first run here?
I think Dylan did a pretty good job. you kept with it. Like, you didn't give up.
I didn't give up. That's true.
That's like the number one thing.
Yeah. If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is a Shaker barn built in about 1865.
Okay.
Used to house cows, now houses puppets.
That's Ziggy McKenzie again, the puppeteer.
Are there any cow puppets in here somewhere?
Oh, there like that are. Would be there the, are like... cow puppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ziggy's taking me on a tour of an old cow barn in Glover, Vermont. Glover's been the home of Bread and Puppet Theater for nearly half a century. And this old cow barn is now the theater's museum, overflowing with 50 years worth of puppets. They are on the walls, they are on the ceilings. The puppets are everywhere. Some look like the founding fathers with buckle shoes and old-fashioned jackets. Others are these bent-over washerwomen with scarves over their hair. Some have big, bulging cheeks and huge beards. They are kind of massive, gigantic, exaggerated, sometimes even grotesque versions of humanity. And the scale of some of them is hard to explain.
You look up at the top of this space, and it's like there's literally like a God-sized face staring back at you. It's a totally incredible, it's an experience that I haven't really had in any other place. It's a really amazing location.
Whoa. And toss it to you.
Ziggy tosses me a puppet head that looks like some kind of cross between a potato and Jabba the Hutt.
It's so light. Yeah,
it's so like lightweight. It's very durable. Put it on. Give it a look. Oh, you look so much better.
This head is enormous. When I put it on, I reach about halfway up, and so I look out through this thing's nostrils.
You should be able to see me. Basically, everything has been sculpted by Peter, papier-mâché'd by many hands, but the original sculpture made by him.
Peter Schumann is the artist behind this operation, and Peter was born back in the 1930s in Silesia, which is now part of Poland. And his childhood was one of chaos and destruction during the Second World War. In the 1960s, Peter came to the United States with his wife, Elka, and they moved to New York City and got involved with this growing avant-garde art and performance scene. Peter started experimenting by making these larger-than-life papier-mâché heads and then wearing them in marches against the Vietnam War. And Peter also started writing these theatrical performances for his puppets, too. They were different from normal plays in the sense that they relied a lot less on dialogue and a lot more on music and the expressive movements of these puppets. One example is a play from the 60s called A Man Says Goodbye to His Mother, which is all about a kid who gets drafted.
We have enemies! Far away!
In this production, an actor wearing an enormous Uncle Sam puppet recruits these young men for the war.
We will go into their country.
And later, one young man's body is brought back to his mother, this beautiful and mournful puppet head.
He is dead.
Peter Schumann's performances were definitely born from that era's protest movement, but they also really stood out. They were this unique blend of First Amendment free speech with art and theater. In the early 1970s, the Bread and Puppet Theater was granted a residency at Goddard College in Vermont. Then, in 1975, Peter and Elka relocated to Glover, this little town in the northeastern corner of Vermont. And that's where they've been ever since. Today, politics is still the lifeblood of this theater. The pieces they perform are written in collaboration between Peter and other theater members based on what's going on in the headlines. Recent shows have touched on climate change, labor conditions for migrant workers, and income inequality. Pretty heavy topics, but they're also being talked about by puppets.
Puppets are like a de-escalator, and like even if you don't necessarily agree with the message, I think people are able to kind of at least listen instead of just completely shutting us out because we are saying what we're saying in a weird way that people don't expect.
There's something else that helps them deliver these messages too.
How many loaves of bread do you think you'll eat?
Oh my God. Hey, I'm not good at math.
It's got to be tens of thousands.
Bread and puppet is not just a catchy phrase. The bread part is very literal. Peter bakes tons of bread before every performance, and it's shared with the audience after every performance.
Now watch out. This is vicious activity, as I said.
Bread and art are like the central things to what we do here. And the theater was kind of created with this concept of breaking bread and sharing it with friends and strangers, and bread as a tool to create community rather than just a simple food item.
They are breaking bread with whoever has come to watch them perform, but that often includes the members of this larger community that they're a part of.
Glover, it's a very particular town. There's a lot of different kinds of folks that live in Glover, from traditionalist, conservative, old style farming folks to hippy dippy back to the landers.
This is Claire Dolan. She was in Bread and Puppet in the 90s and still volunteers with them. She's a nurse and runs a museum in the area, the Museum of Everyday Life.
The winters are long. I think the ruggedness of the life here and the weather here and the sparseness of resources and infrastructure here means that we all have to really live with each other in a way that maybe you don't have to when you're in a big city.
But still, Claire says a radical puppet collective can be an unusual neighbor to have.
Brandon Puppet is a weird anomaly in some ways. It's a weird presence, I think. You know, there's been incidences over the years, like the puppeteers swimming naked at the beach and offending, you know, local families. Or there have been tensions over the years when the theater used to have Our Domestic Resurrection Circus.
Starting in the 1970s, Bread and Puppet put on an annual Domestic Resurrection Circus, a weekend-long circus festival bonanza. And people traveled from all over the country, even the world, to see the circus. At its peak, about 30,000 people would converge on Glover. But the event's popularity was a double-edged sword. In the 1990s, there were growing concerns about the rowdiness of the crowd. There was drinking and drug use. And in 1998, a man was killed in a fight on a campground outside the festival. Residents and local politicians called for a change. Peter and the theater declared that the circus, in its old form at least, was done for good. Today, Bread and Puppet gives much smaller one-night performances spread out over multiple weekends. On a good night, crowds number in the hundreds, not the tens of thousands. Ilka Schumann, Peter's wife, was also a co-founder of Bread and Puppet. And for her, these smaller crowds meant that they now had an audience that they could, as she put it, actually smile at and look in the eyes. Claire Dolan agreed that there was a real connection between the performers and the community.
It's a web. It's a web. And it's a complex relationship, but it's definitely, the theater has shaped the community and influenced the community, and likewise the community has influenced the theater.
Above and beyond! Welcome to Our Domestic Resurrection Circus!
I spent 2 days in Glover before Bread and Puppet's big final performance of the season, and I got to see this beautiful landscape transform into the staging ground for an enormous performance. School buses were repurposed to ferry massive puppets down to the performance site, and families from neighboring towns came and set up and picnicked out in the meadow. And then a parade of skits, giant puppets, and choral singing that echoes throughout the hills, feeling sort of powerful and ancient. And then afterwards, when it's all said and done, we share some bread.
My feet shall visit
It's really beautiful in this day and age when community has been really hard for people to find during like the pandemic and stuff, that this still exists as a gathering spot for people. And we are this little community of puppeteers and bread bakers and nurses and doctors and cooks and chefs, and we all work together to make our lives better and to make our space better and to just coexist.
You can find more information about Bread and Puppet Theater, including the performance schedules, at breadandpuppet.org. And if you want to see the theater in action and me trying to learn to stilt walk, you can see a video of this story from our Small Town Big Story series. You can find this and other episodes on our website. We dropped the link in the show notes for this episode.
Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Witness Docs. This episode was produced by
Amanda McGowan.
The production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Willis Ryder Arnold,
Sarah Wyman,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire Seuss,
Gianna Palmer,
Tracy Samuelson,
John Delore.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
And this episode was sound designed by
Chris Naka
and mixed by
Luce Fleming.
If you want to learn more, be sure to visit atlasobscura.com. There's a link in our episode description. Our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall, and I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure they are always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.